Well, a well-known football coach was once asked by a reporter, "How much does college football contribute to the national physical fitness picture?" Good question, I guess. The coach said, "Nothing." To which the reporter asked, "Why not?" The coach said, "Well, the way I see it, you have 22 men down on the field desperately needing a rest, and 40,000 people in the stands desperately needing some exercise." Sadly, this often happens in the church. This happens in many churches today. You have few people who are exercising their spiritual gift, while the majority are not. This happens in many, many churches today. Churches become places where you go as a spectator, somebody who just sits and watches while people up there practice their spiritual gift and do their thing. And all you do, all you have to do, and what these churches are conveying to the people is all you have to do is show up and sit and watch. Don't worry about using your spiritual gift. We've got it all taken care of for you. This happens in too many churches today, but that's not how God designed it for His church. God has given us spiritual gifts, every single one of us, for the edification of the body, to build one another up. And so all of us are to be using our spiritual gifts as we serve the body of Christ. Now, how many of you know what your spiritual giftedness is? How many of you know what it is? Somebody was to come up and ask you, "Hey, so you're a born-again believer, right?" "Yes, I am." "Tell me, when did you get saved?" "Well, I got saved such and such time." And you tell them your testimony and you go, "Okay, so you believe then the moment that you got saved, you were indwelt with the Holy Spirit." "Well, yes, of course. It's what the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 1, sealed with the Spirit, the moment of our salvation." "All right, so that means that if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, then you have a spiritual gift." "Well, yeah, I do, because I know that that's what the Bible teaches." "So what is your spiritual gift? Tell me." How many of you would be able to convey that? We should know what that spiritual gift is, what the Lord has gifted us in. How can we come to know that? If you're here this morning and you go, "I don't know, I have no clue, Ace, what my spiritual gift is." Well, we're going to go through this lesson here, and hopefully by the end of this, I'm going to help you to have some kind of idea on how to recognize and realize what your spiritual giftedness is. We're going to kind of take this in two parts here. So this morning we're going to talk about spiritual gifts kind of in an overview, a broad overview. And then next week we're going to talk about the gifts that have ceased. Cessationism. We're going to talk about the charismatic movement and what's going on with the charismatic movement. And we're going to talk about the difference between those gifts and what's happened and why we know and how we know from Scripture that there are gifts that have ceased. And so we're going to dive a little bit more into that next week. But for this morning, we're going to just give a broad overview of spiritual gifts. You can see the key verse there, 1 Corinthians 12:7. Could someone read that for us, please? So notice there what Paul says to the church at Corinth. "But to each one," he doesn't say, "but to some of you," "but to a few of you," but to the pastors of the church, or to the elders of the church, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's not what he says. He says to each and every one of you, every single believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's look at our overview there. Every believer at the moment of their salvation is given a spiritual gift. Now here's, let me just pause right here for a moment, because this is what, this really struck me when I was pastoring at Grace Church, and I was talking with our junior high pastor. And he and I were talking, and he wanted to figure out ways that the junior hires could serve the church. And I thought, okay, junior hires serving the church? Yeah, well, we all know how that can go sometimes, right? But you want the junior hires to serve the church. Okay, yeah. And you know, one of the great things, one of the ways that the junior hires could serve the church is in children's ministry. Being the pastor over children's ministry, he wanted to talk about how they could serve in children's ministry. And what he said to me was, Ace, we have junior hires in our junior high ministry who are saved. They've repented of their sin and put their faith in Christ, which means they have what? A spiritual gift. Whoa. Time out. These junior hires have a spiritual gift? Well, duh. Of course they do. If they're born again, if they've been saved by Christ, they've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and they have a spiritual gift. And so he wants then for those junior hires to be able to use their spiritual gift to serve the body. Bling. Hello. Duh. Yeah, that's right. Of course, Ace. And so we worked on ways in which the junior hires could then serve the church and use the spiritual gift that they've been given for the edification of the church. Because every believer, notice what it says there, every believer at the moment of their salvation is given a spiritual gift. God gives these gifts to believers so that they might be used to minister within the church. The English term, their spiritual gift, comes from two Greek words, charismata and pneumatica. The word for charismata is charis, or the root for charismata is charis, which means grace, and speaks of something undeserved or unearned, such as a gift. That's why we call it a spiritual gift. It's a grace gift. It's given to us by God. None of us have earned the spiritual gift that we've been given. We didn't work for it. You can't take a class to try and build that spiritual gift. People will do that. There are churches that are out there that are teaching classes on the gift of tongues and how to speak in tongues. Well, the gift has ceased. We'll talk about that next week. The gift has ceased, but they're trying to teach people how to have a spiritual gift. You can't do that. It's a grace gift, which means nobody has earned it and no one deserves it. But God has given it to us by His Spirit. The second word, pneumatica, means spirituals or things given by the Spirit of God. All spiritual gifts are given by God to the believer. These are grace gifts. They're given to us by God for us to be used in the body of Christ. Let's look at our first section there, the nature of spiritual gifts. The nature of spiritual gifts. Who is the source of spiritual giftedness? Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:11. Can someone read that for us, please? So who is the Spirit, the source of spiritual giftedness? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, notice there, individually. Not just to a few people in the church, but individually, to everyone in the church. The source there is the Holy Spirit. How about 1 Corinthians 12:28? Can someone read that, please? And Okay, so you can see there these different gifts that have been given to the church. And who has given those? What's the source? God is the source. God is the source. And God has appointed in the church. God has done this. So we can even see essentially the Trinity at work, right? Even in spiritual gifts, the Trinity at work. You have the Holy Spirit who's giving these gifts. You have God who is giving these gifts. God is the source. The Holy Spirit is the source of these gifts. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:10. Can someone read that for us, please? So who possesses spiritual giftedness? Answer, every believer. Every believer. Everyone who has trusted in Christ, who has been saved by Christ, possesses a spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts accompany salvation. It accompanies salvation. Now, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 in verses 4 through 7. Can someone read that for us, please? So notice that there in verse 7, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? The common good. What's the purpose of spiritual gifts? The number one there is for the common good. For the common good of the body of Christ. God gives us spiritual gifts for our good and for the good of others. So that we might serve one another. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:12. Can someone read that for us, please? So what's the purpose of spiritual gifts there in that verse? For the edification of the church. For the edification of the church. God gives spiritual gifts not for us to use them to edify ourselves. It's not for me. It's to be used in the church for the edification of others. That's why Paul talks about, we'll get into this as we get into the gift of tongues. Gift of tongues, gift of prophecy was being used to edify oneself, to build oneself up. And he says, no. That's not even the purpose of spiritual gifts. It's to edify one another. That's why God has given us spiritual gifts. Not to be used for ourselves, but to be used to minister to others for the edification of the church. And 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. Can someone read that for us, please? So what's the purpose of spiritual gifts that Peter tells us about in 1 Peter 4? To serve one another. To serve one another. We see that right there in verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. You've all been given a spiritual gift. Now what do? Serve one another with that gift that you've been given. And so that's the purpose then of spiritual gifts. That's the nature and the purpose there of spiritual gifts. Let's look now at our next section here, the provision of spiritual gifts. The provision of spiritual gifts. We're going to go through a few lists here that God gives us in His Word. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. Can someone read Romans 12 verses 6 through 8 for us, please?
Prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. If service, he is serving for each
So let's list out these spiritual gifts that are given to us here in these verses. First, we have, notice, prophecy. Prophecy. That is to declare forth. Next, we have service. Serving gifts. If you have the gift of service, be diligent in that in serving. Next is leading. Leading. Then we have exhortation. We have the gift of giving. We have the gift of mercy. And we have the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching. So you have prophecy, service, leading, exhortation, giving, mercy, and teaching. Okay, so those are spiritual gifts. Now, those aren't all of them. This is not an exhaustive list that Paul gives us here in Romans chapter 12, and neither is it in 1 Corinthians 12. It's not an exhaustive list. What I'm going to do next week is I'm going to give you guys a diagram of the different passages in Scripture that list out the spiritual gifts, so that way you can see them and where they're at. So we'll look at these kind of in more details next week. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 for this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. And could someone read that for us, please? Yeah. That was really good, though. First Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Could someone read that, please? So let's look at this list here. We have wisdom. Wisdom, the gift of, we have wisdom and knowledge. Then we have the gift of faith. The gift of healing. Effecting of miracles. What does that mean? We'll talk about that. Effecting of miracles, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the distinguishing of spirits, then you have various kinds of tongues, should have bought a Honda, just kidding, it's a joke. Interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues. That's right, you should have bought a Honda. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Let's go to page 2. Did you guys get all of those? Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Top of page 2, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Can someone read that for us again, please? Okay, so we have another list here, right? We have, what do we have here? Healing. We have helps. We have administrations. Various kinds of tongues. And we have miracles. Those are five gifts that are listed there at the second half of the verse. The beginning of the verse, those are also gifts as well. Apostles, prophets, teachers. Those are gifts as well. Gifting, we'll talk about that next week. We also have gifts that are listed in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're not going to turn there, but I'm just giving you some other places in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4 and in 1 Peter 4. Lists that are there as well. Now, let's turn over to 1 Peter 4 because I want to help you to see, kind of break this down. As we have all these lists throughout Scripture, and how do we understand then these different gifts of the Holy Spirit that He's given to us? Well, there's a simple way in 1 Peter 4 in which we can look at this passage and we can see how Peter kind of gives us a broad overview of spiritual gifts. Look at verse 10. Notice what he says there. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, so there's the command. God has given gifts to the body of Christ. What is the duty? What is the responsibility? To serve one another with these gifts that you've been given. Then he breaks out and he helps us now to identify two different categories of gifting. Okay, two different categories. Look at verse 11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Okay, so we have a category here of speaking gifts. Speaking gifts. That is, everyone has a spiritual gift, and it's either going to be a speaking gift. Or, notice as he continues on, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. You have serving gifts. So those are two broad categories there. As you look at these lists that are given to us throughout Scripture, you could break all of these down into one of two categories. Either these gifts that are listed here, the ones that are listed throughout these different passages, they're either going to fall into speaking gifts, or they're going to fall into serving gifts. Okay, so either you have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit that have to do with speaking or have to do with serving. You could break it down into two broad categories like that. And that's what Peter does for us there. I would underline that, highlight in your Bible there, verse 11, whoever speaks, circle that, and then whoever serves, circle that. Those are the two categories there that you have for gifts. You either have speaking gifts in the body or you have serving gifts in the body. Now, as we've gone through these lists of spiritual gifts, we're going to go now into talking about the temporary gifts or the gifts that have ceased and the permanent gifts or the gifts that have continued on today. So let's look at our first section there, understanding the temporary gifts. The Holy Spirit gave temporary gifts to confirm the testimony of the apostles and prophets. These gifts were prevalent in the early church, but ceased to be evident as the church became established. We'll talk a little bit more in these details next week. But just understand, these gifts were prevalent in the early church, but they ceased to be evident as the church became established. One simple point, we'll talk about it again next week, but one simple point is the very fact that Paul had men who were with him that were sick. And what did Paul not do? He didn't heal them. He left them sick. Well, wait, Paul. If anybody's going to have the gift of healing, it's you, Paul, right? Paul, why did you not heal them? Why didn't you say, lay your hands on them or throw your jacket at them or have them fall? No, I'm just kidding. Whatever that is, that's how it's often practiced today, right? With people who think that it's a continuation, a gift that's continued today. But you have to, okay, Paul, why did you leave him sick? If you have the gift of healing. The reason why is because that gift ceased. It ceased. We can see here essentially four gifts. I know it's listed as three because tongues and interpretation of tongues is put together there, but there's four gifts that are listed here. You can see, first of all, the gifts that have ceased is the gift of miracles. This gift was the ability to do wonders and signs. In the name of Jesus, I command you, get up and walk. Does that happen today? No, it doesn't. I've spoken with Costi Hinn about this. His uncle is Benny Hinn. And he says, yeah, Ace, it's all a sham. They stage it all. You can read stuff or listen to stuff by Justin Peters as well, who actually goes to these events to see what's going on there. The gift of miracles. People claim to have the gift of miracles. Wonders and signs that are being performed today, they're not being performed. It's not happening. In fact, I remember, this is a couple years ago now, there was a guy in Africa who supposedly raised another guy from the dead. And the guy was laying there in the coffin, and you could tell they had this whole thing all planned out. And the guy's laying there in the coffin, and his cell phone falls out of his pocket. Really? Wow. I mean, somebody had taken that clip and they'd slowed it down to show how it was just all a sham. But this guy supposedly, whoa, 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 and he raised him from the dead. No, he didn't. He didn't do that. There were the gifts of miracles, ability to do wonders and signs. Christ performed many miracles, as recorded in Scripture. Paul used this gift to affirm his apostleship as described in 2 Corinthians 12:12. In fact, let's look at that verse there. In 2 Corinthians 12, and verse 12. He's talking to the Corinthian believers there, and he says, "The sign of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles." The signs of a true apostle. Now, why does he say the signs of a true apostle? Because who had crept into the church at Corinth? Yeah, fake apostles, false apostles had come in and are trying to steer the sheep away from Paul, who is a true apostle, from the teachings of Paul. But he says, look, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you. You saw those that were done. And so Paul used this gift to affirm his apostleship, but that gift has ceased. Number two is the gift of healing. Peter had this gift. We see this in Acts 3 and in Acts 5, which affirmed his message and helped to establish the foundation of the church, the gift of healing. Why should we listen to you, Peter? By what authority are you saying these things to us? As Peter has been commissioned by Christ to go and found the church, establish the church, go preach the gospel. By what authority are you proclaiming this message to us, Peter? Well, Peter is able to do healing, gift of healing, to show the authority that has been given to him by Christ. But this gift has ceased. Now, let me just pause right here and say, does God still heal today? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. God can still heal miraculously if God wants to. But no one has the gift of healing. So that none of us can walk into hospital and start clearing the hospital beds. I mean, think about that. If somebody did have the gift of healing, our hospitals should be empty, right? We have people who are not here this morning because of health issues that are going on. Well, we should tell them, show up to church. Somebody's got the gift of healing. Boom, you'll be healed. Stay seated. Welcome to church. We're glad that you're here. and we'll see you next week. By the way, if you're sick next week, well, just show up. We'll heal you. But it doesn't happen. Why? Because we don't have the gift of healing today. It has ceased. And then number three, there's the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. This gift is manifested by the speaking of a language. Circle that, highlight that. Of a language. That's the joke. Should have bought a Honda. Charismatics, you'll hear them begin to utter these things that's just gibberish. It's not a language. That word glossa, well, again, we'll talk about this more next week, but that word glossa in the Greek literally means language. It's translated as tongue, but it means a known language. It is a known language. That gift was manifested by the speaking of a language unknown to the speaker. We see this in Acts chapter 2. Let's just quickly turn over to Acts chapter 2 because this is going to help us to understand what happened on the day of Pentecost. Followers of Christ were all gathered together in one place. Verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributed to them, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Notice it's the Spirit that's doing all of this through them. But they began to speak with other tongues. You can take that word tongues right there and you could say languages. They began to speak with other languages. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own, notice what it says there in the NASB, language, in their own language. Language, a known language. Verse 7, they were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? What are they saying there? They're uneducated men. Are not all these, they're Galilean, they're uneducated. They're not educated Jews. They're the uneducated ones. They're all Galileans. How are they doing this? They didn't go to school to learn all of these languages. What's going on here? Verse 8, and how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? A known language. They weren't just standing up and uttering a bunch of gibberish. That's not what was going on there. They were speaking actual languages. Verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues, languages, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. So they were given a known language so that they could hear them speak in a language. This gift also had to be accompanied by the gift of interpretation. We see this in 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 27 and 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, in a language, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. That is, if somebody's going to stand up in the church, because that's what he's talking about, in verse 26 he says, when you assemble, So he's talking about the assembling of the believers. When you gather together for corporate worship there, if anyone speaks in a language, the gift obviously was active at this time, at this moment, because they didn't have the closed canon of Scripture. The Scripture is still being written. If anyone speaks in a language, it should be by two or three at the most, or at the most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. Notice what Paul is doing here. He's setting in the church what? Order. There must be order in the church. Now you look at the charismatic movement today. And I know firsthand, I was saved in a charismatic church. There's no order. It's chaos in there. What are we going to do next? Oh, I don't know. Just let the Holy Spirit lead. Literally, that was told to me. As I'm up there playing guitar and I had in-ears in and the pastor's in the back saying, oh, the Spirit's leading. Just keep going. When are we going to stop? I'm out of songs. And I can only repeat this so many times before it gets really boring. There's no order. But what does Paul say? In the church, there must be order. And listen, if somebody is going to stand up and they're going to speak in a tongue, in a known language, there must be an interpreter so that everybody can understand what was spoken in the church. So that there's not chaos within the church. There shouldn't be chaos. But notice in verse 28, but if there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church. So if there's no one who has the gift of interpretation, quiet. Don't speak. Stay silent. Why? Because there needs to be order in the church. And so you can see there, miracles, healing, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those gifts have ceased. Those were temporary gifts that were used, that were prevalent in the early church for the establishment of the church. Now, let's quickly run through the permanent gifts. The permanent gifts. The Holy Spirit gave gifts for the building up of the church. These were prevalent in the early church and still are in the church today. Number one, you can see prophecy there. To prophesy is to preach or to tell forth or to declare the Scripture. Prophecy does not necessarily mean to foretell the future. But that's often how it is understood today. Many people understand prophecy as only foretelling something. So they're going to go seek a prophet to tell them what's going to happen. And oftentimes it's what? What's the question? When is Jesus going to return? Well, 2023. I mean, I know I said 2021, but... I was a little off, right? And people think it's to foretell the future. That's not what that word even means. It simply means to tell forth or to declare forth. And so what does the prophet do? The prophet is declaring or telling forth the word of God. Essentially, every single morning, what is happening from this pulpit here is prophecy. You realize that? Prophecy is happening. No one's foretelling the future. Now, I can tell you what the future is. Christ wins. Right? Why? Because that's what this tells us. God tells us that in His Word. But there's nobody standing up here saying, and the Lord spoke to me last night and told me to tell all of you, this is what's... You'll never hear that from this pulpit. And if you do, we'll get them out of there real quick. So, prophecy is simply to speak forth, to declare forth. Now, put a star next to that, number one right there. Put a star next to that. Number two is teaching. Put a star next to this one as well. This gift is the ability to teach the Word of God and help the hearer to understand the Scriptures as the author intended. The ability to teach the Word of God. Must be able, that's what every elder must have. Must be able to teach the word. Must be able to teach. Number three is faith. Faith. This gift is a consistent enabling faith that truly believes God in the face of overwhelming obstacles and human impossibilities and for great things. John MacArthur calls this the gift of prayer because the gift is primarily expressed toward God through prayer. This here, this gift of faith, is the divine enablement to trust God in all details of His work, even when the outcome seems uncertain. One commentator calls this stellar assurance. I love that, stellar assurance. And you hear that from people. Well, you know what? That's all right. We're just going to trust the Lord, right? And you go, oh, well, I know what your spiritual gift is. It's the gift of faith. Yeah, but you know all the obstacles we have to go through in order for that to happen? Well, I know, but you know what? We're going to trust the Lord. God's going to make it happen in His own timing. Gift of faith. Number four is wisdom. Put a star next to this one. Wisdom. This is the ability to apply wisdom gained from spiritual insight to believers, knowing what is right and what is wrong. It's applied knowledge, right? Which is simply what wisdom is. It's taking knowledge and applying it. Applying it in the right situation. This here is a speaking gift. This gift, as it's described to us in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12:8, it's called the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. And so that's a speaking gift. Make sure you have a star next to that one. Number five, knowledge. Put a star next to this one as well. This is an understanding of the facts of Scripture. From the human perspective, it is scholarship or the ability to know the truths of Scriptures both broadly and deeply. And again, this is called the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Again, this is a speaking gift as well. It's the word of, to declare forth, to bring forth knowledge. Number six is the gift of discernment. This is what we read in 1 Corinthians 12:10, the distinguishing of spirits. The distinguishing of spirits. It's the gift of discernment. Discernment is the ability to tell which things are from the Spirit and which are not. Distinguishing truth from error. This gift serves as a protection for the church. And you think about how Satan always is wanting to twist the truth, right? So that it's 99% true and 1% lie. That's what he wants. That person with discernment is able to nail it. Go up, nope. That's wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. Distinguishing of spirits, discernment. Number seven is mercy. Mercy, this is the ability to show deep compassion to those who have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. The gift of mercy. Let's go to the top of page three. Number eight is the gift of exhortation. Put a star next to this one. The gift of exhortation. Exhortation is the ability to encourage and motivate. A person with this gift can come alongside another to comfort him with love, to encourage him to a deeper spiritual commitment and growth, or to exhort him to action. This is the gift that qualifies people to exercise a counseling ministry in the body. In order to counsel somebody, you must be able to exhort them. Counseling is not just sitting there listening to all of their problems. And then you go, oh, well, I'll be praying for you. No, you have to exhort them to do something. Why? Because that's what God does in His Word. So we have to know how to take the Word of God and apply it to that situation in their life to exhort them to then live in obedience to Christ. Exhortation. Number nine is the gift of giving. This gift is a direct reference to the material ministry of giving food, clothes, money, houses, etc., in response to the needs of the church. The gift of giving. Number 10, administration, leadership. This gift is the ability to oversee the flock. This gift should be exhibited by pastors and elders, as well as leaders of missionary societies, youth ministries, evangelistic associations, etc. The gift of administration and leadership. Number 11 is the gift of helps. This is the ability to aid in a time of need or bear one another's burdens as the situation arises. Aid someone, help them out in a time of need, the gift of helps. And then number 12, the gift of service. The gift of service is working for the body of Christ in an area of physical ministry, such as serving food or performing maintenance. The gift of service, desiring to serve the body. Now, I told you to star 5 of them, right? 5 of those. Those 5 are speaking gifts. Speaking gifts. Those 5 that are starred there, those are all speaking gifts. So the gift of prophecy is speaking, teaching is speaking, word of wisdom and word of knowledge, speaking and exhortation, speaking. Remember we talked about in 1 Peter 4, you have speaking gifts and you have serving gifts, right? Those there are the speaking gifts. The others then are the serving gifts. The serving gifts. Now let's look at the exercise of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. Can someone read that for us, please? So how can your gifts be abused and without benefit? Answer, if your gift is not used in love. If your gift is not used or exercised in love. That's Paul's whole point here, is to say, look, he comes right off of spiritual gifts, talking about spiritual gifts. Verse 31, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. We'll talk about that verse next week. But he says, look, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, now, he's being facetious here. He's exaggerating a point here. He's not saying that there is a language of angels. There's some angelic language there. But he's exaggerating to make a point here. How do we know he's exaggerating? Well, because look at verse 2. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. Is he able to know all mysteries and all knowledge? He's not. He's exaggerating to make a point. That's what he's doing there. So even if I have the language of men and the language of angels, if there was such a thing that I could declare forth, if I had all knowledge in the entire world, I could have all of that stuff. If I don't have love, profits me nothing. Your gift has to be exercised in love. That's what he's commanding there. 1 Corinthians 12:25, can someone read that for us, please? So what should our attitude be in the use of spiritual giftedness? We should care for one another. We should care for one another. As we use the spiritual gift that God has given to us, we use it because we care for one another. We care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? I know you do. As we show up and we minister to one another, there's a genuine care for each other. We love one another and we care for each other. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. Can someone read that for us, please? So that So notice what he says there in verse 16. According to the proper working of each individual part. What causes the growth of the body of Christ? The proper working of each individual part. The proper working of each individual part. So that if somebody has a gift of service, serving gift, but doesn't have a speaking gift or the gift of teaching, and they stand up and they go, well, I want to be a teacher. And they get up and they stand up and they begin to teach. And the body leaves confused, going, what was that? We can say they're not using the spiritual gift that God has given them in the proper manner, in the proper way. We have to use the gifts that God has given us in the proper way so that the body may grow. Let's look at our application. Each member of the body is commanded to minister in many of the gifted areas, whether he possesses that particular gift or not. For example, all Christians are to function in the following areas. First of all, faith. Faith. We are all to have faith, trust in the Lord, right? All of us are. Wisdom. We see this in James 1:5. We're to pray for wisdom. Ask that God would give us wisdom. Knowledge. We're to grow in our knowledge, rightly dividing the word of God. Be Bereans. Grow in our knowledge. Exhortation, Hebrews 10:25, to exhort one another, right? Let me just quickly go there, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're to be encouraging one another. That is exhortation. That's part of encouragement, is exhorting one another. And then giving. All of us are to be giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Giving with joy unto the Lord. And then caring for one another. This is the gift of helps. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12:25. We are all to be caring for one another so that we can't walk in and say, ah, well, I don't have the gift of caring or helping. So you know what? It's not for me. No, we must do that, all of us, care for one another. Now, let's look at page 4, top of page 4. How do you know what your spiritual gift is? Now, we've gone through all of them. Everybody know what your spiritual gift is now? Well, the Bible does not explicitly explain how to determine one's spiritual giftedness. However, you can begin by being obedient in the areas mentioned above. That is in that application. Faith, wisdom, knowledge, exhortation, giving, gift of helps. Look for open doors and pray for opportunities to serve. Seek the counsel of other believers. They may be more aware of your gifts than you are. Ask other believers. And so you can see there, you can write this down and pray about this. In what areas would you be willing to serve? What are some areas that you're willing to serve the church? What are some things that you desire to do? Some of you, it might be, I desire to teach God's word. I desire to stand up and study God's word and to teach God's word to others. Now, maybe it might not be in the context of a worship service, but it might be in the context of teaching children. You desire to teach. You might have the gift of teaching or other ways that you desire to serve the body. I love taking out trash. I don't know why, but I just do. Well, gift of serving, that's your gift. Serve the church in that way. Begin to ask other people, what are some ways that you desire to serve the church? What are things that you have in your own heart that you say, I would love to serve the church in this way? Write those down, pray about those, and ask others who are near you. Hey, so what do you think my spiritual gift is? Now, Here's how spiritual gifts work. The question often comes up. Does every believer only have one spiritual gift? The answer is no. Not every believer only has one spiritual gift. There are some that are kind of blended together, where some people have spiritual gifts where you can see there's a blending of these together. So you can look at this and you can kind of go through this list, but it's not to say that, oh man, what is my one gift? That's not what you're looking for. But you're looking for desires. Because if the Spirit has gifted you in that area, what is the Spirit also going to give you? The desire, right? The desire to use that gift to serve the body. Now, don't go online and take the spiritual gift test. Don't do that. It's not helpful. Just go to your brothers and sisters and say, hey, you know me. You see the things that I do and the things that I don't do. You see the desires that I have in my heart and things that I don't want to do. I don't have a desire to do this and things that I do desire to do. What do you see? Help me. Here's some areas that I see in my life, in my mind, I'm thinking through. But just sit back and listen and let Him speak to you and see what those areas are. And as they do, God is going to help you to understand this is where you are gifted and where you need to be serving the body in using your spiritual gift. Now, that's an overview of the spiritual gifts. Next week, we're going to talk more specifically about cessationism, the gifts, the temporary gifts that have ceased, and show you from Scripture how we know that these gifts have ceased. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that has indwelt us the moment of our salvation, and you have given us a spiritual gift. Lord, I thank you for the spiritual gifts that are used in this body, that are being put forth in this body to serve one another. Lord, it's not for our own edification. It's not for our own personal glory to say that one of us is better or has a higher gift than another. Lord, we know that that is not how it works in the body of Christ. But we are to do all of it, whatever we have, speaking gifts or serving gifts, we're to use those gifts, Lord, to serve one another and to edify your body. And I pray that your body might be built up, that we might grow and strengthen one another as we use the spiritual gifts that you've given us to grow one another, to help each other grow, to encourage one another. And may we do it all with a heart of love, a love for one another, and ultimately a love for you. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.